Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast. Today, I'm Coach Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In this episode, the CEO of African Tourism Partners and convener of African Tourism Leadership Forum, Kwachi Donkor, advocates for government support for tourism SMBs in Africa to help them revive their businesses, and he also gives an update on this year's African Tourism Leadership Forum event scheduled to come off in Kigali, Rwanda. Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I've been joined by Kwachi Donkor, who is the CEO of African Tourism Partners, based in Johannesburg, South Africa. And they are also the organizers of African Tourism Leadership Forum, of which he's the convener of the event. Welcome, sir.
Good morning, Kwajo, and hope you are keeping well and staying safe in Accra, Ghana.
Yes, we are. I mean, we are keeping well and staying safe. And now that, you know, the borders are open, we are exploring to come over and see where we can meet again. Definitely at ATLF or, you know, in South Africa, you know, but there we go. But how are things in South Africa?
South Africa is doing well. Now we do domestic travel, which is excellent. And slowly but surely, we believe that people will start traveling across the country, knowing more about our own backyards and exploring the things that we have not had the opportunity to do. And possibly making sure that we tick the boxes for all our bucket list within the country. So South Africa is doing that. The country is opening up. As you know, it's been very difficult here for everybody. And South Africa is not different. It's still difficult. But the good news is we can travel across the country, one province to the other, one city to the other, meet people, obviously with strict adherence to COVID protocols.
Okay, excellent. At least the tourism restart is on, and we're beginning to get things going. In Africa, I'm happy to see that over 30 countries are opening up gradually. And very soon, yeah, it would then kickstart the intra-Africa, because some of the issues that we had, or we all talked about, was the fact that when the pandemic was very serious in Europe, Africa was still not recording those numbers. And some of us thought that, you know, it afforded us the opportunity to push the intra-African travel and tourism. Now, it takes me to the African Tourism Leadership Forum. Or if you may start with ATP, what does ATP, you know, do in Africa and in South Africa?
Basically, we are a Pan-Africa tourism development consulting company. So we look at tourism development strategies, destination marketing and branding, and anything across the tourism value chain, ATP will provide advice or consult on, provide leadership in that regard. The good news is we don't work alone. We've got partners across most of the countries in Africa, Sub-Sahara, and we also have partners like BDO and a lot more that we work with. So depending on the scope of work and what needs to be done across the tourism in Africa, we are able to add value. And why we are very interested only in Africa, we are basically advocates of Pan-African tourism development and intra-Africa travel, as you spoke about. So we try to focus on Africa with partners, what we call the in-country partners or affiliate members that we are able to work with. We've recently launched a program which is called ATP Suite Members, and the focus on that is to try and work with small enterprises, SMME startups that will need help, particularly in mentorship, in somebody holding their hands and guiding them through how they can possibly grow their businesses. And I think that one is extremely critical, particularly within the space that we all find ourselves in. And we hope that we'll be able to do a lot more. It's a program just launched. We don't have, I don't think we even enrolled 10 members or more, but this is going to be a major program for us next year to help grow with SMMEs. And we believe that growing with the SMMEs will even make us better and better advocate for intra-Africa travel and Pan-Africa tourism development. So that is what we do.
Now, talk about intra-Africa travel, you know, and SMEs. It brings me to the question about how you believe that the SMEs were the most affected within the tourism chain. And then you've been advocating for, you know, the soft things that we can do to you know, help them in these difficult times. Throw more light on this.
Yeah. If you look across Africa, Kwejo, most African countries have got a bigger informal sector across all industries, and tourism is an industry that is run by a lot of people within our local communities and the informal sectors and small enterprises. And when the world was cut off from us, or this pandemic took place, and it's still happening, a lot of these people are the hardest hit, in the sense that when there is no tourism, the woman who cooks and serves the tourist when they are driving along the roads cannot serve anyone. The gentleman who sells artifacts in the local art and craft market had no clients. The people running B&Bs, 2-3 bedroom hotels, don't have any backbone or back support like big corporates and branded hotels, in the sense that the branded hotels are listed and they got shareholders and stuff. This is one-man business or family businesses. These are, sorry. And the truth is that they've really been hit, in the sense that there is no source of income, because a lot of these enterprises depend on daily revenues or daily sales. And it's difficult for them even to make savings and cater for future challenges that they may come across. So when something like this happens, these people really suffer. And we believe that although governments have given stimulus packages and also kind of support, but the support needs to go beyond that. It's not just giving the stimulus packages, but giving them, as you said, the tools and resources that will help them to restart their businesses, that will help them sustain the business going forward. That is to help them to ensure that they are well equipped to come back to what we've all termed the new normal. To be well equipped to be able to grow the businesses from what I call ground sub-zero. And I don't think, in spite of all the webinars, the talks, and whatever we've all spoken about, a lot has still been done to assist these people. You know that I'm advocate for the issue of what I call data is life. And everything that we are talking about is about technologies, about innovation. If these SMEs don't have money to put food on the table for their families, we want them to learn online. We want them to be trained online. We want them to listen to the experts across the world online. Where are they even going to get the money to get the data? And I've been advocating for this. I've still haven't achieved anything because I haven't heard any, we've not managed to convince any of the telecos to come on board to say, we are going to donate so much data to SMEs in our country within the tourism space. So that is just one of them, and there are a lot more. Okay. So I think as we still come back, this is something we are still going to fight for, support for SMEs. We cannot twist anybody's arm, but we will make sure that we keep on drumming the message home so that those who have got any support that they can provide could give within their communities, within their countries, within their provinces and regions, in any form or shape. I think SMEs will appreciate that. So that is our advocacy role as far as SMMEs in the tourism value chain in Africa is concerned. And that is what we intend doing.
Okay. Now let's talk about the African Tourism Development, African Tourism Leadership Forum, sorry, excuse me. Right. And this year was built to have the third edition in Rwanda. Initially, it was supposed to have been, I think, in July. Was it in July or something? And then COVID obviously was the disruptor. So tell us more about the event itself, its aims, because sometimes we hear a lot of Africa this, Africa that, Africa that. And then the overall effect is that we don't see it translate into the aims of shaping, you know, the aspirations and, you know, bringing people to come along in the tourism space. So tell us more about the Africa Tourism Leadership Forum, and then we can go into the details of this year's one, whether it's going to come off or not.
Thank you, Kwajo. First of all, I will say that this year's event is going to come. I'm tackling your question from the other side, from the back to the front.
Okay, no worries. Go ahead.
It's going to happen. The dates are the 19th to the 21st. We may possibly do 20th and the 21st because we all know we don't have sponsors, we don't have budgets to be able to run the event like the way we would have run it. So it's going to happen in Rwanda between the 19th and the 20th. Whether we do the 19th, that we will determine in a week's time because we are literally left with 3 weeks to go to have the event. So it's going to take place. The awards that we have had in the past will now be run virtually instead of the usual event that we have in the evening. We will do virtual event, and we will do the youth innovation competition as well. So the event will take place. The shape and the format and the size will definitely be reduced. And obviously the bells and the whistle that normally come with the event in terms of quality will also be reduced. The quality will be good, we are very confident, but in terms of the size and the number of speakers, obviously might be reduced. So that is what is going to happen. We are talking to two key potential partners. Obviously, Rwanda is still the host as a country, and we are working with RDB, Rwanda Development Board, Rwanda Convention Bureau, to make sure that it happens. We are talking to the Rwanda Chamber of Commerce. Chamber of Tourism, they are keen to come on board, and MasterCard Foundation, as well as GIZ, and they are all keen to support in whatever form or shape they can. Now, in terms of the event, why do we have the ATLF? And I like the point you raised, Africa this, Africa that, Africa that. It's unfortunate that all this, Africa that, Africa that, are not something run by Africans for Africans and supported by Africans. If you look at a lot of the African events that take place or initiative, you get people from the Western world coming, we are running Africa that, we are running Africa that. And unfortunately, our people, leadership buy into it, and the guys come and they get whatever they get and move it to the next African country until they finish us, and then they go back to wherever that they came from and they come back with something new. Tourism has suffered the same challenge or shortcoming. And 3 years ago, we felt that it's important that tourism in Africa is led by Africans, supported by Africans, and enjoyed. And we are talking of the leadership, the thought leadership around the industry. So in a nutshell, the Africa Tourism Leadership Forum is a pan-African tourism leadership platform. And one of the key objectives is to bring the thought leaders within the industry to meet at least once a year and explore ways that we can improve the shortcomings within the industry and come up with innovative ways of doing things. So every year, the leaders meet, including private and public sector, ministers, policymakers, CEOs, to explore different things. We believe that it's a platform for knowledge sharing. It's the only platform where you get the ministers in Africa, tourism CEOs and private sector meet in Africa, apart from the fairs, the usual travel fairs that we have across the continent. It's a dedicated platform for thought leaderships, for engagement within the sector across the industry, also for each and everyone to start knowing each other. One of the critical things that we look at is, we've been talking about intra-Africa travel for years. Now, one key thing that we are looking for, and hopefully we will be able to achieve that soon, is to see what are the strategies and what are the best way for us to put all these talks into action. Because everyone talks about intra-Africa travel. Everyone talks about domestic travel. Everyone talks about collaboration. But when it comes to implementing these ideas, it becomes a problem. So one of the things that we are trying to do is, how do we, if we take collaboration, for instance, how can the leaders bring all the talks about collaboration into action? And I'm comfortable to say that within the 2 years that we have the event, two things have been achieved. One of them, the MICE sector in Africa, particularly the convention bureaus, they've spoken for 2 years, and at the beginning of this year, they committed to establishing what they call the Coalition of Africa Convention Bureau. And the idea that they are focusing on, one, is to help support the countries that have not managed to tap into the MICE industry. The second one is to see how best they can get events that are in Africa, the particularly the rotational one, to rotate and are kept in Africa. It's still at early stages, so I will not be able to say that has achieved anything, but one major achievement is the agreement for them to work together, which ATP, my company, is basically working with them to make sure, and BDO is making sure that they are able to get this off the ground. So that formation is there. The second achievement, which I'm sure you were in the meeting, is that the Africa tourism CEOs, particularly the tourism authorities, national tourism authorities, have also agreed to mainstream what we've had for the 2 years, what we call the Africa Tourism Leadership Forum, CEOs Forum rather. And that CEOs Forum, they agreed that they are going to now formalize it and work together with the support of UNWTO. I think we had our last meeting in end of June or July, if I'm not mistaken. And hopefully we'll be able to escalate that to the next meeting, where clear action, and one of the action points they are looking at is how do we build market confidence through One Africa campaign. That doesn't mean Africa is one, it's multifaceted destination, yet it's One Africa. So that is what they are looking for. The third one is that a lot of young people are beginning to realize that we are providing them a platform for them to be able to understand what they can do when they finish schooling, or what opportunities are there. Tourism is a very broad industry, and a lot of time the young people get confused. I'm studying tourism, what do I do after that? So we are saying that this is a platform at least will provide Africa, young people from Africa rather, who want to get involved in the industry, an idea of the career opportunities and entrepreneurship opportunities that they could find across the industry. Then finally, one important thing is that we are able to recognize the change makers within the industry. There isn't anything like that in Africa. There are a lot of initiatives about awards and events, and some, what is sad is sometimes we have to travel outside our continent to go and receive an award by somebody who even doesn't know where the continent is, and who has never been here, giving an award to people from the continent, and we all get excited. And there are awards on the continents also that just people just give because they feel that that will help to propel their business by just creating an award. Here, it's based on sustainability, both economic and financial. And we got a group of experts across the industry from Africa with a few from outside the continent to adjudicate and assess those who really deserve. So that is not just one of those awards. So we are really looking at change makers. I think you are a winner of the media twice. And I think I don't need to tell anyone across the continent that you deserve it. And we are not involved. They are independent judges totally. So we believe that we've achieved four key things, and there's a lot more for us to achieve. Okay. And we hope to
do that. Okay. Now, on your achievement again, what is the process of bringing young people in terms of mentoring them, and to also not just mention them in terms of we saying that people come to events, etc., by monitoring their progress to see that ATP or ATLF is an entity that has the youth of Africa within the tourism space at heart?
Thank you. That is a very important point, because if not, it becomes one of those where people meet once a year, disappears, and meet again. If you were part of the panel of adjudicators last year after the event, it was agreed that the five shortlisted candidates were going to be mentored and supported so that this year they will be able to enter the awards. I must admit, the process started at the beginning of the year. We had a hotel school which gave opportunity for entrepreneurship. Hilton also came on board to support. IATA came on board to support. But unfortunately, with COVID, we've not made a lot of progress on that in that area. There was only one gentleman in Tanzania that I personally adopted as a mentee, and I've been guiding throughout the process. They are coming out with technology. So the program is there, but the truth is that we couldn't do much because of the disruption caused by COVID. Now we blame everything on COVID. However, just this week, we managed to go through the submissions for this year. And as I speak to you from Monday, I'm speaking to all the judges. And for this very month, we are going to give them the shortlisted candidates plus that of last year. Okay. And ask them, give them that support, at least for this month, in preparation for 19th and 21st October. Now, linking to that particular program, we launched the associate membership. You can check it on our site, ATP Associate Membership, for the same purpose that you've raised, where we've asked people to go to that site, register. At the same time, we are lobbying for mentors. So we are looking at mentors and mentees to be registered on the site so that we can do matchmaking. We launched it sometime in June, but we slowed down it because we realized people were not in the right frame of mind in terms of space, in terms of thinking, in terms of even the mentors were under pressure. So we didn't want to put that pressure on them. So we've been very slow on that. But God willing, now that the pandemic is receding and countries are opening up and people are finding their space and way around it, that is going to be our focus for next year. And we hope that by the time we get to 2021, we could come out boldly and say there are 10 or 5 mentees that we've managed to support across Africa. We don't have the money to support them at the moment. There's a plan in place, but we don't want to rush it. We want to make sure that we do it properly. The good news is going forward, it's important I raise that as we currently, with our hopefully collaboration with MasterCard Foundation, Rwanda, and GIZ, if we are able to succeed in those collaborations, hopefully we'll finalize those discussions by the end of this week and next week, then it will make it easier for us to mainstream this particular initiative. So we are very excited about those collaboration. And at the moment, although we don't know what kind of support they will provide, the event, the youth event might even become a MasterCard Foundation and GIZ event going forward. And that is the, I see that as little progress that we've made, but then we have to see the real value that it gives to the youth. And that is where we are, what we are aiming at. Thank
you. Yes, now going forward with the ATLF, how do you make inclusion more, you know, practicable in your space? Because we often hear people even put in the line that there's inclusion, etc. This, but honestly, the truth is that people with some form of disability or you know, some issues sometimes do not get to be part of events, you know, like this.
Okay. The two things, we all know that everything has gone virtual this year. And a couple of things are going hybrid. We're definitely considering that even for this year's event. We don't know how soon, but by next week, or hopefully we'll be able to make an announcement or the week closer to the time in 2 weeks or so, we'll be able to make an announcement on the hybrid or the virtual version for the event, whether it's possible or not. So for the inclusion, that is one area we are looking at for them to be able to participate without necessarily traveling. The second one is there is one of our partners, STTA, which does a lot of work in Rwanda and in Uganda, and it's something that we will consider. But Kwajo, the point that we want to emphasize is we don't want to try and rush and get into everything, because if you force things, they break. The event is 3 years old now. We are very pleased where we are. And we want to make sure that every success that we achieve is sustained. Once that success is sustained, we can progress to the next level. So we've adopted what we call the phased approach. So the first approach, if you realize in Ghana, we did not have the youth event. So we take the outcome of Ghana and then we implemented the youth program, which we've adopted. And out of the youth program, this is where we are going now. We've taken the youth program, the outcomes there. We are now engaging MasterCard and GIZ to support us so that we could possibly scale it or make it better. So the next step, based on the outcome of this year, we will decide what kind of inclusion we like to look at. To give you an idea, this year's event, the youth one, we are making sure that it's not just youth, but it's youth and women. Because we felt that, and despite the fact that we talk about everything, not just woman empowerment, the term that has been used all over and overused and abused, but we are talking of leadership development. And that is why we need partners like GIZ and MasterCard Foundation. And we hope that going forward, we'll be able to get more. We are not pushing much because it's difficult with COVID to get a lot of people behind us. But hopefully, based on what we achieved this year, we can improve on it and bring in a lot more partners to make it more inclusive in terms of people with disability and all sort of people that we can. But at the moment, the focus is youth and women. And within that, we still accept disability issues. But we have not mainstream anything on disability yet. But there is a plan to get. Yeah.
Okay. So in wrapping up, tell us about yourself in brief, about who Kwachi Donko is. But we know you are at Ritosa, even doing some marketing, some golf stuff. Let us in on in your
so I should blow my own trumpet. Okay. Very simple. Kwachi Donko is a marketer, chartered marketer, an award-winning one, and a tourism development strategist. He's a teacher in the sense that I do a lot of capacity building training, if you know. We are the first company to do what we call the Africa Minds Masterclass and Africa Minds Development. I know there are other people seen recently doing similar thing, trying to do similar thing, but we are the only one who do that. And naturally, I love teaching, I love sharing, I love sharing knowledge and learning from others. And I also sit on a lot of panel of expert programs as far as speaking engagement across tourism communication, marketing, and strategy formulation as a whole. So that is who I am. I'm also doing all this means that I'm by default a researcher. So I've become a serial researcher that I have to do. So I think that is who Kwachi is, and I'm very privileged. But then I'm made by the people around me, like yourself, friends, and people within the industry that I learn from on a daily basis to make me a better person and be able to support the industry and contribute to the development of Africa as a whole and tourism in particular. Originally born in Ghana, but at the moment I'm a global citizen and I'm an African citizen. Not, I don't belong to only Ghana. I think I belong to Ghana and the
based in South Africa. with your family.
South Africa, correct. We are very privileged. We also have contacts across the whole continent, so we are able to operate on the ground in South African countries, which is a very privileged position to be in. Right.
Okay. So, Kwaji Donko, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kwaji.
Masoka nungi horonya ye.